25 years since the Rwandan genocide, the country has emerged to become one of Africa's most common success stories. Its remarkable recovery has stemmed from efforts towards nation building. But some critics argue this bid for ethnic reconciliation is far from complete. In this week's Spotlight on Africa, I take you to Kigali to explore how Rwanda has dealt with the trauma of its past.
We still remember those people who was just killed and genocide, who called Abatutsi peoples in district of Muhima or Nyarugenge.
19-year-old Nadine Owuduheye points to the names of victims of a genocide engraved on a black marble tombstone opposite a building of red bricks and white panels. The building is the Saint-Fémy Church, the largest Catholic church in Rwanda. It is also where more than 2,000 Rwandans seeking refuge were massacred by Hutu militias with the complicity of a priest.
I'm just looking for these people. There are too many. This is something like inhumanity. How they people can take something like knife, something like hurt, just they put to the neck of others. How they can kill their people, how they kill their child, how people can kill his mother, how just, you see, it's just many questions you can ask people. And then I just say, oh, pray for my God, please Jesus, don't make this happen again.
Up to 1 million Tutsis and moderate Hutus were killed in a brutal 100-day massacre that has led some to question whether God really exists.
For me, that's what I don't believe it. How they said God was, he was absent from that day. No, he wouldn't. Because something is happened. That means the God, he just forget us. He gave us to know how we can treat between us. How can we be together? In those years, they didn't have a unit. They just have something like Tutsi, Hutu, Twa. But right now, we are just Rwanda. All of us, we are just Rwanda.
Just Rwandan. It's a leitmotif echoed throughout Rwandan society. Today, ethnic labels have been removed and most children like Owuduheye have grown up with the idea of Rwandanness, inculcated into them in education camps known as Ingando, but try to minimize ethnic differences.
It's amazing, and many people don't understand how really these people who want to be resilient has made this reconciliation.
Rwandan author Jean-Marie Vianney-Rurangwa speaking about how Rwandans have overcome their divisions by accepting their past. He was invited to discuss his work in preserving the memory of the genocide, and he does so through writing.
Writing something that is painful is easier than saying it. Because a catharsis, you know, when you write, you share your emotions, your sentiments with the readers. And if the reader, for example, has experienced the same sufferings, he feels really relieved. So sharing pain can be a kind of healing.
Yet officials accuse critics of trying to create an alternative truth. Critics like Hutu opposition leader Victoire Ingabire. She was freed from prison last September after 8 years in detention on charges of inciting divisionist rebellion, essentially trying to divide Hutus and Tutsis, allegations she denies.
I'm not taking sides. I'm neither pro-Tutsi nor pro-Hutu. I'm looking out for everyone. Crimes have been committed and have never been judged. I'm asking for justice for all Rwandans. It does not mean that I minimize the importance of the Tutsi genocide.
By everyone, Ingabire means the thousands of Hutu civilians who were killed by President Paul Kagame's Rwandan Patriotic Front forces, the RPF, as they hunted down those who had committed the genocide in neighboring Congo, which later expanded into calamitous regional wars.
The crimes committed by certain members of the RPF are never mentioned. We are not allowed to discuss it. So how can we talk about reconciliation?
Yet everywhere, reconciliation and unity dominate the public discourse, such as this year's anthem to remember 25 years since the genocide illustrates. According to the Rwanda Reconciliation Barometer, More than 90% of Rwandans believe their communities have fully reconciled. This reconciliation has been based on a collective memory of a genocide to build a post-ethnic national identity. The aim is to help people overcome the trauma, explains Eric Ndushabandi, director of the Institute of Research and Dialogue for Peace.
The official memory is through a memorial site, is through discourses, is through trainings in terms of civic education in this mechanism we call Ingando, which is solidarity camps. But the main point in this narrative is about to correct the history. You have been taught this, you have been reading this, but the truth is this. This can be seen through how Rwanda traditional seen in terms of social cohesion, how colonial legacy have been influencing social cohesion, and the two former regimes which institutionalized the ethnicity and the divisions and which led to the genocide. So what is very interesting is to see how, for example, memory and identity have been integrated in the reconstruction process, basing on the nationhood, which is requesting people really to come out their traumatic memories and divisive identities to go for nationhood.
Common experiences allow individuals to cope when memories are particularly traumatic. But some Rwandans want to simply forget, explains Ndushabandi, who runs dialogue sessions between survivors and perpetrators in villages outside Kigali.
There is a traumatic wounds which are back. People are looking at the scars and traumatic memories, and they say, oh, this proximity and the interrelationship, it's still very problematic.
The other concern is that promoting one Rwandan identity could lead to impunity. That's the opinion of Pumla Gobodo-Madikizela, a research chair on historical trauma at the Stellenbosch University in South Africa.
The idea of one Rwanda, I am Rwanda, it's really a tremendous idea that we as South Africans can learn from. It's about nation building. The challenge is, how do you ensure that people who committed genocide in this country can simultaneously embrace the I am one Rwandan while they are also acknowledging their deeds? The problem is when people immediately embrace the idea of being I am one Rwanda without accountability, without taking accountability and acknowledging what they did. I think that's where the slippage lies.
The trauma of a genocide remains endemic throughout the population and affects the youth in particular, despite many of them being born after 1994. Youth like student Deborah Chizozo.
I am not born the time of genocide, but I cannot say that I was not affected by it, because my parents, my grandparents are affected by it. So the time's painful time for everyone, because they are telling us stories by that history that was a very dark time here in our country. So I feel bad. Some of my friends are having trauma because of the time, but we're going to pass it, and we have hope that we're going to have a beautiful country, a best future.
There are encouraging signs coming from the youth, reckons Vincent Sezibera, a professor of psychology at the University of Rwanda.
We are seeing the creativity from the children born after the genocide. They are even creating another story of this country. They are sending clear message about the way they see reconciliation and unity. For example, having groups where you will have children born from survivors and children from perpetrators who are really collaborating, engaging in a number of projects, who will send you clear message that a child born from a perpetrator is not necessarily a perpetrator. And they even go to say that the perpetrator can change. The perpetrator of yesterday is not necessarily a perpetrator of tomorrow.
Such youth clubs have taken on names like Ikizere, which means hope in Kinyarwanda, the official language.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that resilience, but also that creativity from the young generation, and it gives me hope. Yeah.
Reporting for Radio France International, Christina Okello, Kigali.